Hansa Medical conference call to discuss the company's year-end report 2016. Joining me on today's call are Steven Glaser and Emanuel Björne. Steven is our CMO. Emanuel is our Investor Relations and Vice President, Business Development. Let's move to slide two. We will be making some forward-looking statements, so please keep that in mind as we go through this call. Let's move to slide three. 2016 was in many ways a defining year for Hansa Medical. We successfully continued to develop our novel and innovative immunomodulating enzymes, in particular our lead candidate, IDEFIRIX, enabling transplantation in sensitized patients. In December, we announced the completion of the second Swedish open-label phase II study with IDEFIRIX, conducted in Uppsala and Stockholm, Huddinge. Our objective is now to demonstrate that the mode of action of IDEFIRIX is equally relevant for the more severe cases of HLA sensitization. In order to enable transplantation for patients that have been on the wait list too long, we started and included the first patient early October in our multicenter clinical study, IDEFIRIX. The first patient was then treated and then transplanted. The clinical study in TTP was discontinued in December after review of clinical data from the treatment of two patients. Since we were not able to demonstrate a convincing risk-benefit profile in these patients, we decided to stop enrollment and discontinue the program. We are very optimistic about the clinical development of IDEFIRIX in our lead programs, and the decision to end the study, the TTP study, has no impact on Hansa Medical's ongoing studies with IDEFIRIX in kidney transplantation or planned studies in other autoimmune indication. Let's move to slide four. In our other projects, we are also making solid progression. We acquired IP around the use of IDEFIRIX and EndoS in combination with cancer antibody treatment. We believe using IDEFIRIX or EndoS has the potential to potentiate those cancer treatments. I think most importantly is that we have made very good progress with the NiceR program, which is a novel IgG-cleaving enzymes. We are planning, or our objective is to start clinical studies in 2018. The improvement is really to facilitate repeat the treatment in patients. In October, we decided to raise 185 million in private placement to selected international specialist investors, as well as Swedish institutions and strategic investors. With that financing, I think we are in a very good cash position for the time being, and we'll be able to fully execute our strategy and continue to develop our programs. Over the last 12 months, we have also continued to build a strong, committed team at Hansa Medical. We are now more than 30 coworkers and plan to further strengthen the organization as we get closer to the commercialization phase. In the managed team, we strengthened the team with Henk Juuel Fosdevik as responsible for commercial operations. In September, we strengthened the team with Karin Asqar as Vice President of Regulatory Affairs. Let's move to slide five. Looking at the financials and the shareholder structure. As you heard from me earlier, we are continuing to build the company, developing the pipeline and strengthen the organization. As you can see from the P&L, we have almost doubled the cost within research and development expenses. Just to give some flavor on the SG&A expenses, they are a slight increase, and I would say the G&A has been lower in 2016 compared with 2015. We have increased our efforts with the deployment of Henk in commercial operations, starting building awareness around IDAS, and our current focus, or the first focus, has been on the U.S. market. At the end of 2016, we had a cash position, including short-term investments of 254 million Swedish crown. And what I'm especially proud of is that we have been able to transform the shareholder base in 2016, a journey which we already started in 2015. Today, our free float is 73% compared to, I would say, the vice versa in the beginning of 2015 with 27%. We have about 35 million shares outstanding, and we are, since late 2015, listed on Nasdaq in Stockholm, and we were upgraded to the mid-cap segment early this year. And as you can see, the increase of the free flow has been, I would say, mainly within financial institutions and foreign investors. I would say other, which is mainly retail investors, have been quite stable since the beginning of 2015. Let's move to slide five. Our pipeline. Very much of the focus of the update today will be focused on IDAS. We have the NICE program, which I told you that we are expecting to move into clinical studies in 2018. NOS, also immunomodulating enzyme, but I would say in late research. The ENSE program, which is in the cancer immunotherapy, where we can use IDAS or NDRS to potentiate antibody cancer treatment. We are evaluating our options to move in to small clinical studies alone, but also evaluating the possibilities to do that together with the partner. Let's then move to slide seven. And I'm going to focus on the latter part of the table, the phase two study, as you heard at the end of last year in December, where we completed the study and reported top-line data. A total of 10 patients were treated and then transplanted. We met the primary and the secondary objectives in that study. We have an ongoing phase II study, which is an investigator-sponsored study, which is the sponsor is Stanley Jordan, Professor Stanley Jordan at the Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. He will include up to 20 sensitized patients, and we expect him to complete the recruitment during the first half of 2017. Then we started the multicenter phase II study with three sites in the U.S., two sites in Europe. The patients who will be included in the study, those are refractory HLA-sensitized patients. Those patients are not. Most of those patients are not possible to transplant with the current protocols. The study will include both deceased donors and living donors. In the current phase where we are in recruitment, we have only treated patients with deceased donors. Next phase, when we will also include living donors, we will also be able to accelerate the recruitment of patients as two or three of those sites in the study will just include or will mainly include patients from living donors. We expect to finalize the recruitment in 2017. We have said it will be 12 months recruitment period of it, and we started that in October. We expect to have the last patient into the study during, I would say, end of Q3, but working on finalize it a little bit earlier. Moving down to slide eight. Achieved milestones during 2014-2016. We entered into clinical studies. The first-in-man study was successfully completed in 2014. We started and completed the first phase II study in sensitized patients in 2015. We got U.S. orphan drug designation for all solid organ transplantation. In 2016, we continued with finalize and successfully complete the second phase II study in sensitized patients. We initiated the multicenter study, which we believe would form the base for filing both in U.S. and Europe. We received a positive opinion during 2016 of orphan drug designation, also in solid organ transplantation, and it was granted early 2017. Moving to page nine, looking what we have ahead of us, I think we have had a very exciting 2016, and I think we are looking very optimistic on the coming two years, which will transform the company. We are expecting to publish the results from the completed, but also from the ongoing U.S. investigator-sponsored study in peer-reviewed journals. You will also see other publications outside the transplantation and for other indications. We are expecting to finalize the U.S. phase II
for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. Please hold until we have the first question. Our first question comes from the line of Christian Glennie from Stifel. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Couple of questions. The first is on the to what extent, you know, you can talk around the characterization, the your interaction with regulators around the fact that your obviously the HIDES study and also the other data you've got from other studies leads you to a potentially pivotal filing, and what that data sort of needs to look like in terms of meeting those hurdles.
Yes, thank you, Christian. I will hand over to Stephen Glacier, our CMO. But first, before I do that, I think the interactions that we have had so far with the regulatory agency has been mainly with the FDA, and I think that dialogue has been very positive. But we need to kind of seeking even more advice, but given what we believe and what we have seen in the current the completed studies and the current ongoing studies, we have a firm belief. If we just repeat those data, we think that could form the base and for a BLA filing.
Yeah, this is Stephen Glazer here. What I'd like to add here is that we have had a very constructive dialogue with the FDA concerning the patient population and the design of the current HIDAS study. This study includes patients that would otherwise not be transplanted. And the plan is, based on the results that are coming in from the study, is to have another meeting with the FDA. And I mean, if the study performs as anticipated, we could have a potential to file with a narrow claim for these patients. But just bear in mind that, you know, the data speaks for itself. So when we have either before we complete the study or after we complete this first study, we will have a follow-up study with the FDA and really be able to, you know, firm up our statements around timing of approval and things like that.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. And then just the other one is on just cash burn. Obviously, you've got the bulk of the main study running this year, other studies kicking off. What does that mean in terms of the sort of R&D run rate for 2017 and ultimately your cash runway position?
It's Göran here. And I think it's looking at the fourth quarter, it's a good indication on the cash flow going forward. We had around negative cash flow around 30 million Swedish crown during fourth quarter. We have a quite high cost related to the CMC development. We had that in 2016. We will be on the similar level in 2017, but then it will decrease during 2018. So it's a really peak of the cost related to this CMC development, and then we will have a slight increase in the clinical studies ongoing. But I would say that we have a run rate of, based on the end of December, from that from roughly 24 months.
Okay, thank you. If I could just quickly come back onto the HIDAS study and just to get a bit of a sense for recruitment into that study and what some of the hurdles there are potentially. Obviously, you know, presumably a lot of these patients are you know, known and registered, but presumably they still have to meet a number of criteria and what some of the hurdles there could be.
I can just stop and then Stephen will continue. I think, as I said during the presentation, we will include five sites. At least two of those are just doing living donors for the time being, and I think it's and based on what we have seen both in the Stanley Jordan study and in the Swedish study, the recruitment have been very smooth.
Yeah, I just like to add that as you well know, it takes time to set up sites, activate sites in the United States with respect to contracts, IRB approval. From the time we've activated a site, so they put the first patient in the study, has gone fairly quickly, actually. So we enrolled several patients quickly in Los Angeles. As soon as we opened up another site, we enrolled a patient. And there's a couple of other sites now that are, well, all five are ready to go now. And we will very shortly open up the trial for living donor transplants. And there is actually patients that are identified. And as soon as we open up for living donor transplants, the enrollment will increase quite sharply. So as you know, in the transplantation world, you have, you know, for deceased donors, you have to wait until there's an appropriate organ donor. But we're quite confident that we can complete enrollment according to plan for this study.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Juan Serrate from Edison Investment Research. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. My first question is about the timelines, in particular timelines for the initiation of clinical trials for the other indications that you are targeting for IDES.
Yes, if we take the first, as I said, we have initiated the anti-GBM recently, or correctly today, and but that's, as I said, an ultra-rare disease, and the incidence is 1 on the millions, so we will have up to 10 sites, and the principal investigators, Mårten Segelmark at the Linköping University Hospital, but it will include many sites in different countries. And then regarding starting up other indications, we are talking about the blood group incompatible patients, to desensitize those patients. We are, I would say, late stage planning, and hopefully we will be able to execute that, I would say, the plan is mid this year. We are also looking into GBS. And as I said, we are developing, upscaling the process. So we are planning to do the study in GBS with the new material, the commercial material. We're going to use that material in the GBS study, and that would be during second half of 2017.
Okay, thank you. My second question is about your regulatory and commercialization strategy. In particular, you mentioned that you're going to file for approval in the EU and US in 2018, so potentially reaching the market next year. And I wanted to know, do you plan to partner these, the rights for IDES in some regions, or what's your approach in terms of marketing the product?
I think our current commercialization strategy, looking at the transplantation setting, but also the potential within anti-GBM, we believe that it's a very targeted patient population, few prescribers. We have done quite a lot of work looking what is needed for the U.S. market, and we are the approval process in Europe is a little bit longer, do we anticipate, compared to the U.S. So U.S. will be the first market to launch in, and we think we have the possibilities and build up an organization to commercialize IDES for those target groups. We do not exclude partners for example, Asia. We are looking into that. But I think we are not doing that actively for the time being. We want to have the data published, and then we're looking into the strategy going forward. And then you had some question regarding the regulatory strategy. Perhaps you can address that, Stephen.
The regulatory strategy, as Björn just mentioned, our initial contact has been with the FDA, where initiated a development plan in patients with the highest medical need within renal transplant world, and very near future with contact with appropriate European regulatory agencies. We are starting up. We have done a number of patients, transplant patients in Sweden, and we are opening up now a site in France. So we're currently discussing the timing on when to approach regulatory agencies in Europe, but we probably will do so this year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Samir Devani from Rx Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple. Just following up on Christian's question, I just wanted to clarify something about the R&D spend for 2017. I think you mentioned that you expected a cash burn run rate equivalent to what was occurring in Q4. Does that mean effectively you're looking at potentially 100 million SEK on R&D in 2017?
Yes, I would say about 100 million Swedish crown.
Okay, that's great.
R&D spending.
Okay. And then, second question is just on the HBP assay, whether you can give us any update on Axis-Shield's commercialization efforts. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you, Samir. I will hand over the question to Emmanuel, rather, I would say close relation to Axis-Shield.
Axis-Shield are pursuing additional clinical trials in the U.S. and in Europe to further strengthening the clinical data for using HBP for prediction of severe sepsis. They're also launching a fully commercial version of the HBP assay. So this generates some royalties to Hansa Medical for the time being. But we anticipate that the data from these additional clinical trials, in combination with a full commercial version of that assay, is what could potentially lead to increased levels of sales for that product.
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Madhu Kumar from Chardan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, guys. So thinking about IDEZ versus the kind of follow-on drugs, how do you think about the use of these drugs in transplantations outside of the kidney? So, I mean, I think most notably about lung and obviously heart. Where do you think about the positioning of either one of these two drugs in, and their use in those transplant settings?
If you answer, Stephen.
Yeah. You know, the unmet medical need in lung transplantation is very, very high with respect to transplanting patients who are sensitized. And I think there's a lot of a parallel also between kidney transplantation and heart transplantation when it comes to highly sensitized patients. So, we are in contact with specialists in these areas, and from our point of view, we wanted to get first really solid data in kidney transplantation. But moving forward, I'm sure at some point there'll be initiated studies in both heart and lung transplantation, either by Hansa or when it's on the market, because there is a very high unmet medical need in these areas also. And the mechanism of action of the drug would fit very well in those groups. A large number of lung transplant patients actually die on the waiting list because it often has to go very quickly.
Great. And kind of a follow-on question. So you've thinking about lung transplant, is there evidence that IDEZ is useful in the kind of perioperative setting?
Well, we give IDEZ a couple of hours before transplantation, and when you say perioperative, what exactly are you meaning with respect to timing?
I mean, like thinking about a lot of these lung studies which are administered kind of mid-transplant or that kind of thing. But I guess so you're talking about essentially within the realm of the operation.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, if you think about the mode of action of the drug, it consistently degrades IgG within minutes to hours. So, you know, in your clinical trials, you'll often want to see if you convert a cross-match test, things like that. But the effect is very rapid and it's very predictable. So the perioperative setting is fine.
And then kind of along with these questions, would Hansa be the one leading these kind of these transplant studies outside of the kidney, or would that be something that would be partnered out? Like, what is your sense of that now? Obviously, that's still kind of up for review, but where is your sense of that now?
Okay, I think, as I mentioned earlier, is that we want to see how the drug performs in kidney transplant patients, but I mean, we could implement studies in heart and lung transplantation. You know, Hansa could do it. We could do it ourselves if we choose to do so. Right now, we're very committed to getting the data from the kidney transplants done as quickly as possible, but. Moving forward, these could definitely be trials for Hansa to perform or investigator-initiated studies. There's lots of possibilities here. We're not talking about large clinical studies in these areas.
Okay, thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rickard Rönnblom, private investor. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, and thanks for a informative presentation today. I have a question about the potential that you see in bone marrow transplantation. I mean, right now, I guess you're focusing on solid transplantation and primarily kidney transplantation indications, and a little bit on the also on the autoimmune indications. And I think that you've mentioned the long-term market potential for IDIS being split around 50-50 between solid organ transplantation and autoimmune diseases, roughly somewhere around there. But I just, I was just wondering, I mean, bone marrow transplantation is sort of a third area. It's a transplantation indication, but it's not really solid organ transplantation. I know there is quite high numbers of transplant patients in bone marrow. It's in range with kidney, which is the biggest solid organ transplantation indication. And as I understand, there is a lot of antibody problems involved in bone marrow transplantation, maybe even more so than in regular solid organ transplantation. So, summing up my question, I mean, all these points that there could be, I mean, quite big market potential on top of the solid organ transplantation and autoimmune diseases within bone marrow transplantations. And I haven't heard so much, you know, your long-term view on this, if there is a big opportunity here or how you see that, and if you have any initiatives to start looking at this.
And thank you for the question, Rickard, and I think you summarized my answer pretty good. And we are doing some work, doing some market research, looking at the potential patient population. And I think we are coming to the same conclusion as you do. And we have been approached by some of our key opinion leaders, the really prestigious hospitals that are interested in running trials in those patients where they're using plasma apheresis today to desensitize those allogeneic, mainly the allogeneic patient within the. I think it's a bit too early for us, but it's also from a pricing perspective, I think it's an interesting setting, the bone marrow transplant. I think we will come back with more details and plans which we're working on. Stephen will add.
Yeah, I'd like to add, I think, you know, I have a background in hematology, and I think there's a lot of potential for iDose and bone marrow transplantation. As Jörg pointed out, you know, you have to look at the whole picture, including the commercial assessment. But we'll get back to this later on this year, but it's potentially a very attractive area where iDose could have great value for the patients.
Okay, thank you. Could you comment something about the timeline? Is this something that I mean, is it just, I mean, far ahead, like something that comes later on? I mean, you have your prioritized indications that you've mentioned where you have some studies planned. I mean, is there anything planned for 2017 on bone marrow, or is it gonna come later on?
I think it's earliest, I mean, possible would be late 2017. It's probably that we're going into 2018. I think we need to really focus on the transplantation setting and on those prioritized indications. It is a very nice indication and very feasible, we believe currently. We need to do some more homework before we.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
I mean, for the other indications, you've mentioned some patient populations, but I don't think that I've ever seen any, like theoretical numbers on patient populations on bone marrow. It's always been sort of left out. Maybe it's too speculative, too early, but anyway, I mean, it could be interesting to hear your thoughts.
I think it is similar to the kidney transplantation patients.
Okay. That's okay. That's pretty big then, I guess. Yes.
Yes.
I think we agree with your statements around bone marrow.
Thank you very much. That was.
Thank you.
My question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press zero one on your telephone keypad now. As there appear to be no further audio questions, I'll return the conference to the speakers.
Thank you very much for your attention and very good questions. Hopefully, we could answer them. On the Q&A slide, you see some upcoming events where we participate during March. We also get a lot of questions when we're going to have our Capital Markets Day, and it will be announced. I think our ambition is that we would like to have some more data, and we have to coordinate with our key opinion leaders and trying to fit into that schedule. We will come back regarding the Capital Markets Day. Hopefully at the Capital Markets Day, we'll be able to share some